Pepper Young's Family. Pepper Young's Family is the true-to-life story of your friends, the Youngs. We'll be with them in just a moment after this message. Well, Carter Trent has finally succeeded in impressing upon his mother that he's really in earnest about marrying Peggy Young. And Mrs. Trent realizes that she will have to try some new approach in order to show her son that marriage to a simple, young, small-town girl would be unsuitable. As she sits looking at Peggy's picture, her husband bursts into the room with his usual force and directness.
Well, Ivy, I suppose Carter's already begun singing the praises of Miss Peggy Young.
Yes, Horace. Come in and please close the door.
Now, tell me, just what is his attitude?
Well, he's on the defensive. He's very touchy about the whole business. I think we're going to have a difficult time, Horace, particularly after looking at her picture.
Her picture?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there it is on the table. Take a look at it.
Oh. Well. Yeah, she's a darn pretty girl. All right, what about it? We knew that, didn't we?
Well, there's more than prettiness in that face. It's really a lovely face. It has character.
All right, all right. So Carter happened to fall for a lovely-looking girl. Now, there's nothing surprising in that, is there?
Well, this is different. In spite of her background, or whatever sort of person she really is, or what kind of family she comes from, there's a lot to worry about, Horace, when you look at anyone as attractive as she must be.
All right, but I'm not thinking of that. I'm thinking about how long this thing is going to last. How long we're going to have to put up with it. You know, Carter is considering himself engaged to a girl who is simply a nobody.
And I'm trying to think of some way to show him that this girl is a nobody, to make him, well, understand our point of view.
All right, I'm not going to have him marry anybody at present. He's in the army now. That's a full-time job.
Yes, yes, yes. I agree. But he's mad about it. He's never gone out about any other girl the way he has about this one.
Well, of course he hasn't. He's never been in love before, that's why.
Well,
he's always spent his time with his nose between the covers of a book. Now, I'm not going to take it too seriously, my dear. I think this is the first girl who was ever interested in him, and he thinks he wants to marry her because he's in love with her at the moment. That is natural, too. But he won't. You leave it to me. No, it really isn't as serious as you think, dear.
Now, you know very well you cannot discourage Carter when he has his mind set on something.
All right. Maybe we can't discourage him, but who knows, we may still be able to discourage the girl.
Oh, my dear.
I thought she was going to give him up. She told Bruce Taylor she was through with Carter.
Well, I haven't had a chance to go into that. Carter talks as though everything is all settled. You must not underestimate this situation, Horace.
Oh.
We have to work together, dear. You'll have to do as much as I to discourage this girl and make it plain to her that she just cannot marry Carter.
Discourage her?
Oh, Horace.
How am I going to discourage her when I never expect to see her? Hmm?
I think that's Carter now.
We'll be back with the Youngs in a moment after this message.
Yes, come in, dear.
Well, well, Carter. You know I hadn't expected to see you in uniform.
Yes, I didn't have time to change.
Of course not. Now, look here, my boy. I want to explain something.
Yes, I'd like you to do quite a little explaining, Dad. I want you to tell me why you sent Bruce Taylor to Elmwood. I'd like you to explain how you came to make such an idiot proposition to the Youngs as you did. I hope you'll explain that
no,
to me.
No. All right. Now, just one minute, if you please. I offer to explain, but you needn't take the attitude that you are entirely in the right and that I am entirely in the wrong.
Now, neither of you is going to take any attitude. I just won't have it. Carter's come home from camp. He's in the army now, and he deserves a good time. I've arranged for him to go to the theater tonight and to have supper afterwards.
I don't want to go to the theater, Mother. I'm sorry, but I want to talk tonight. I've got to get back to camp. I only have a limited leave.
Well, you sound very grim, darling. Don't you think we can have a little fun?
Well, perhaps we can. Only I don't happen to feel like it. I feel very upset about this whole thing.
You feel upset? Well, now, Carter, just how do you suppose we feel, What position do you think we have been put in? having everybody in Chicago practically come and tell me about your engagement before I even knew it myself.
I wrote you I was in love with Peggy, and I told you I wanted to marry her.
Yes, you told me you wanted to marry her, but you didn't tell me that you were engaged. What do I have to do? I have to pick up a newspaper and find that out for myself.
Horace, please, I'm not going to get excited. Or get cross. No, nobody's going to be cross tonight. We're going to have a pleasant evening. Carter worked hard at camp.
I haven't worked that hard, Mother. I can still hold up my end of the argument.
Yes, dear, and your father's worked hard, too. He's had a lot of things on his mind. He's been terribly busy.
Ivy, my dear, suppose you just let us talk without any interruptions?
Well, indeed, I will not. You're dreadful when you talk. Yes, you are. You and Carter bark at each other, and I'm just not going to have any barking. Tonight's a party, and whether you like it or not, it's going to remain so. Carter's in love. That's perfectly natural. I'm delighted that he is. She's a beautiful girl, and, well, you're just simply resentful because you don't think Carter's old enough to get married.
No, I certainly do not, and I'm not going to have him marry anybody.
Father, I'm of age, and I'm on my own, and I'm going to do what I need to do.
You're going to do exactly the way I tell you.
Father, I don't think we're going to get anywhere. I told you over the telephone the same thing I'm going to tell you now. I'm not interested in continuing to be your heir. I realize that you think I ought to take up a responsibility for the position which I'll find myself in when I inherit your business one day. But I don't want that either. I want to live a simple life with simple people. And I want to have a wife who'll live on what I earn.
Earn?
Oh, yes. And just how much do you think you'll earn when you get out of the Army?
Well, I don't know. In fact, I have no idea.
Well, I do. You won't earn anything.
Oh, Horace.
Now, it's very easy to talk about earning money when you've never earned a cent in all of your life.
Horace, for goodness sake, will you stop taking that attitude?
Father's making a lot of sense, Mother. He's saying exactly what I've said to myself any number of times. I may have to start at the bottom, and I may have to work hard for years before I'm in a position to get married. I know I have to make my own way.
Yes, well, why in thunder do you talk about having your own way to make when my grandfather passed it on to my father, and he in turn to me? And now your grandfather and I have built up a tremendous business for you. And when all you have to do is step right into our shoes and continue on...
Thank you, but I don't want to step into anybody's shoes. I prefer my own shoes.
Oh, you too, really.
Dad, you made up your mind before knowing Peggy, before ever meeting her, that you didn't like her. And that you didn't like the kind of family she comes from. That you didn't like the small town she's been born and brought up in. That she isn't in the social register.
Oh, no.
And for that reason, and that reason alone, you're dead set against her. You don't understand that nothing you can say, nothing you can do, nothing you can threaten can change me in any way.
Darling, your father and I merely want to be sure that you're in earnest about this girl.
You know darn well I'm in earnest, Mother, and so does Dad. He wouldn't have sent a lawyer out there to Elmwood if he hadn't thought I was in earnest about Peggy.
Carter, why don't you give us a chance to meet this girl?
Well, I wanted you to meet her. I'd like to bring her here for a weekend. That was the one thing I did want to do. But did you give me a chance to do that? No. You sent Bruce Taylor out to Elmwood and balled everything all up. Insulted her family and had her breaking up our engagement. It was all I could do to get her to look at me again after that.
Come on now. Don't make me laugh, son. No girl is going to give you up that easily.
Now, Horace, please don't talk that way. This girl is different.
Ah.
Yes. Now, Bruce Taylor himself came back and said the family refused to take any money. Refused to have anything to do with the offer you made them.
You bet your life they did. They were insulted at the suggestion that they would take money in return... For love.
It's certainly refreshing to hear about people who are not interested in money.
Oh, that is a lot of poppycock.
Now, it's not.
Of course they're interested in money. Everybody is interested in money.
Well, sir, you didn't want to meet Peggy, and now your chance to meet her's gone. She won't meet you now. She wouldn't come here on a bet, not after what her father told her.
Now, please, let's not get on the subject of her father.
As I understand it, he knocked you down.
He struck me when I was off guard, before I could defend myself.
Listen, Carter. Carter, dear, I want to meet your Peggy Young. I want to meet her very much. And I think perhaps she wants to meet us. I don't know whether she still does, but suppose I call her up and ask her myself. Suppose I phone her in Elmwood and invite her to come here and stay with us.
What? You mean you'd call Peggy up?
Yes.
You invite her?
Yes, dear.
Mother, No, it wouldn't work. She wouldn't come now.
No, and besides, we don't want her here, Ivy. I don't want her in this house.
Horace, be quiet. I want her in the house. She may not accept it. She may be angry. But if I speak to her, at least she'll know that I'm apologizing for the mistakes we both have made. Now, Carter, dear, do you have any objections to my calling her? Have you any objections to my asking her to come here and pay us a visit?
Thank you.
Carter, unaware of the real purpose behind Mrs. Trent's invitation, smiles gratefully at his mother, delighted at her sudden friendliness towards Peggy. And now a message from our sponsor. Tomorrow, Peggy receives an exciting invitation from Mrs. Trent. Be sure to join us tomorrow on Pepper Young's Family. John Scott speaking.